Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Deborah Kammer-Hines, and today's conversation is with Jolene Loria-Solins, Deputy Assistant Attorney General and Controller at the U.S. Department of Justice. Also joining me from IBM is Angela Carrington.
Jolene, I understand you're a recipient of the Federal 100 Award. Would you tell us more about the award, and given such peer recognition, what emerging technologies hold the most promise for improving federal financial management?
Thank you for the question. I always have a hard time touting my own awards, but since this is an award that I received on behalf of the PMO, or the Project Management Office of the Unified Project, I'm happy to report on the award that I accepted on behalf of their hard work. The Federal 100 Award is given to, I think it's 75 agency officials and 25 company executives that have acted as agents for long-lasting change in the way that agencies and companies develop, acquire, and manage information technology. It's sponsored by Federal Computer Week, and its purpose is to recognize individuals in government and industry who have made a difference in government systems community. It was a very prestigious award that was bestowed upon me. It's bestowed upon people in government and private industry who've made substantial contributions to the development, acquisition, and management of information technology in the federal arena. I was happy to note that the panel of judges were many of my peers across the government, as well as some that had been detractors of the program in the earlier days. I found it very interesting for me and my experience to go through the challenge of keeping the concept and the mission and the vision alive of the program, and then receiving this award again by the peers and by the very people who had been what I would call ankle biters in the past of, why are you doing this? Why are you spending this money? So it was very good for me to go to that award and feel that the project had gotten the status that I believe that it deserved. So that was a prestigious award. It was, I think, given to me, but obviously based on the hard work of the people that had been under me. The project started in 2002. I joined in 2007. I definitely brought a new perspective and probably a breath of fresh air. That's what always happens when new executives come in, but certainly not the only champion of a program. So I was happy to accept it on behalf of the program. You asked about technologies improving financial management, and they use the buzzword game changers, or the ones that will provide, you know, the most bang for the buck in the government. I think they are the ones that will help government provide more real-time transparent information, and ones that can cut across multiple component organizations and bring data together so that we can then do the analysis and the strategic work that we need to do. So those that help us with transparency and accountability are going to be the ones that the government now focuses on, because I'm not the only federal agency that doesn't have an enterprise system. We're not the only federal agency that still has legacy systems. So that sort of real-time information is critical. I was thinking about a story that I neglected to tell in one of the other questions, but it comes to mind on this. When I started in the Justice Department in 89, we had to do a review of why the Border Patrol was short with its salaries and expense money. The review took over 3 months. It was at the object class level, for those listeners who know what that is: salaries and expense, rent, travel, transportation, those kind of details. And we found after a 3 month arduous review, and this is one component, that GSA rent money was being spent higher than it should have been, and they were taking salaries and expense money away from the Border Patrol. Therefore, they couldn't hire the Border Patrol agents that they needed to hire. That review took 3 months. Today, if we were to take 3 months to answer a simple question like that, I would tell you we would not have our jobs in the government. But if you ask me that same question today, we are using the same systems that we used in 1989, and we have the same challenges to find the detailed object class level information, bring it all together on a spreadsheet or some sort of format, and analyze what happened to the money. So the scary part for me is that we still need real-time financial information, and we need to be smart about how we set up those technologies and how we're able to retrieve the reporting aspects of that data. And I think that's where we need to go.
During your 20 years in the federal government service, you mentioned when you started in 1989, you've held several key financial management positions. Given your vast range of federal experience, what advice would you give to a person who's considering a career in public service?
Well, first advice I would give is just do it. I've never regretted the decision. I have to back up and tell you that when I started my career, I started at the University of Buffalo. I was born in Buffalo, and I was born into an immigrant, first-generation Italian family, had a lot of family history and community. I was a music major, piano performance, and I took an elective in political science because I was always interested in government and how we run the country, fell in love with basically the content of the class, and then went on to change my major and go into public service. And I don't think I ever stopped. I gave up my passion for music at the time, didn't give it up completely, but I always wanted to work in a place where when I left at the end of the day, I knew what I did made a difference to the community, to the people, to the basically the entire country. And there isn't anything more exhilarating than to work in a job where you know what you do really makes a difference. And I was thinking in my mind what that means is I would love to be a philanthropist. Don't have enough money to give away millions and change the lives of millions of people. But I think that people that work in public service are their own philanthropists because they give up their time, they give up their effort, they don't make a lot of money, they get a lot of complaints, but they do it because they do it for the community, they do it for the good of the country. And most of us go to work every day, and it's not as if it's always glamorous, it's hard work, but I never regret when I leave the office at the end of the day the amount of effort that I put in because I believe in it. My advice to anyone that wants to go into public service is it's hard work. It wouldn't be called work if you weren't going to work. It would be called fun. But when you realize that hard work has the opportunity to impact the daily lives of American citizens and in a positive way, I don't think there's a profit motive or there's a bottom line amount of money that you can put on that sort of effort. So I would say that I enjoy working for the public service and that I'm privileged to be part of that community. And as I said earlier in the interview, the things that the Justice Department does on a daily basis basically ensure freedom within our country. They ensure that we live in a peaceful society. And I can't think of any more uplifting mission and vision to work for and to basically come into the office every day.
Jolene, that's great advice. We've reached the end of our time, and that will have to be our last question. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule, and Angela and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jolene Loria-Sullins, Deputy Assistant Attorney General and Controller at the U.S. Department of Justice. My co-host has been Angela Carrington. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Deborah Kammer-Hines. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.